All right. I'd like to call to order the April 5th Oro Valley Planning and Zoning Commission regular session to order. Thank you. I love that we have sound effects now. That's great. Ms. Ancona, could we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington? Commissioner Nichols?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
Chair Gamble?
Here.
And Commissioner Henderson is excused. Let the record show we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. If you guys could all stand and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, thank you, everyone. At this time, I would like to do the call to the audience. Any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law. Individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by the speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. In order to speak during call to the audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing the blue card speaker. We do not have any blue cards, so I will close the call to the audience. I would now like to turn the time over to Vice Mayor Barrett for council liaison comments.
Thank you. I just want to welcome our new commissioner. I know that's on the agenda, but welcome to our new commissioner. We haven't really had any planning-related items of significance on the council agenda, but we do have coming up the budget process. So that takes quite a bit of time and effort from all of the staff and from the council as we go through that process for the next few months. So that's probably where our focus is going to lie for the next few months moving forward. So that's about it for my council update. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. I'd now like to start with our regular session agenda. And our first item is welcoming our newest commissioner, Joe Nichols. We are so excited to have you here. Welcome to the commission. And we thank you for being here and for volunteering your time. So welcome.
Can I just respond? Thank you, Chair Gamble. I appreciate it. And I just want to thank Vice Chair Harrington and the town staff for the warm welcome, but also for the training and the orientation they provided. I'm very impressed with the professionalism of the staff that we have in the town. So thank you.
Thank you. We do always need to give a shout out to them. They do such a great job. So I regret that I was out of town when they had that. So I'm glad to hear that it was so wonderful. All right, Ms. Ancona, will you please read item number 2?
Review and approval of the March 1st, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Can I get a motion on those, Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the March 1 regular session minutes with one amendment, please. If you look for the voting tally, you'll notice that my name is not on 2 series of votes. So I would like that added.
Can I get a second?
I'll second the motion.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 And there are no opposed. Ms. Ancona, will you read out our third agenda item?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a proposed zoning code amendment to the standards for banner and window signs, section 28, and other related sections, including definitions, chapter 31.
Thank you so much. I'd like to turn the time over to Mrs. Hayes for our staff presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair Gamble. My name is Patty Hayes. I'm with the town's planning and permitting divisions. And the purpose for this item tonight is to review proposed changes to the banner and window sign standards in the zoning code. Last month, at a study session with the commission, we discussed that we learned how simpler sign standards worked during the Oro Valley Safe Steps program when sign standards were relaxed. It had become clear just how important signage is for businesses, in particular window and banner signs. This triggered an effort to review how the code could be amended to be more user-friendly and equitable among businesses while maintaining the expected Oro Valley standards. I also mentioned that the document included in your packets, which is really big, contains lots of markups, but it's actually a lot of housekeeping. For instance, we're moving all the definitions out of Chapter 28 into Chapter 31 with all the other definitions. So there's a lot of housekeeping, but the only true changes to any standards are the window and banner sign standards tonight. So first, at the last meeting, we reviewed banner signs and how the code currently treats new businesses better than the existing by allowing a new business to install a large banner when they first open. That sounds nice until you're an existing business, then you're only allowed to install a small banner. A small banner size is not too helpful for businesses who are trying to keep their doors open. Staff is proposing to simplify the three different banner sizes shown on the left down to one banner size for all businesses shown on the right. The one banner size would create equality among businesses while making things simpler for the store owners and code enforcement. The large banner would allow the smallest of businesses to be seen from the largest of parking lots. So sorry, I was a slide behind there. There we go. At last month's study session, we discussed that banners could continue to allow any color except fluorescent or iridescent colors that mimic traffic control signs. There was also a question about the proposed 60 square foot size and how it compared to other jurisdictions. Pima County, our closest jurisdiction, also allows a 60 square foot sign, while Marana is a bit smaller, and then some jurisdictions measure banner allowances by the size of the storefront. Also, staff clarified that businesses would be allowed to install a freestanding banner at a much smaller size of 16 square feet, which is the current allowance. No changes to the freestanding sign standards are proposed. So tonight, when we talk about banners, it's all about banners hung on the wall of a business. Next, we looked at window signs. Remember the expression that says, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees? That is a good way to explain our current window sign standards. Our current window sign standards are so micromanaged that it's hard to see the primary goal. We simply do not want all of the windows of a business to be covered in signage. We want to continue to allow a portion of the windows to contain signs, but without dictating the size of each element of signage. On the left is what the current code allows, which consists of four very regulated sizes for windows. And on the right is what the proposed change might look like with one easy-to-understand sign standard. At the study session last month, we clarified that illumination standards for window signs that are currently in place would not change. Only a 6-square-foot area and the open and closed sign would be allowed to contain illumination, and that also moving and blinking signs are and still would be prohibited. We also clarified that 30% window coverage applies to the entire window frontage and not just individual window panes. Also, that a 30% window coverage is similar to other allowances in the region. The general plan action item asks that we update signage with an emphasis on identification and direction. The proposed code amendment is a very focused change to two sign types, banners and windows, which will contribute to the identification of businesses and their long-term success. To summarize, the proposed sign standards are to simply reduce the three banner sizes down to one, and to reduce the four window sign sizes down to one simple method of measurement. The proposed standards will make both banner and window signs easier to understand for businesses with clearer and clearer for code enforcement. This proposed code amendment also includes several housekeeping and organizational elements that have no effect on any other sign standards. Tonight's meeting is a public hearing, and we look forward to a recommendation from the commission, and this does conclude my presentation. And I'd be happy to answer any questions for you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Hayes. I appreciate that. All right, there is a public hearing attached to this.
I would love to speak if I may.
Yes, I will open the public hearing, and Mr. Dave Perry will address us. And if you could state your name and whether or not you're a resident.
Thank you. Chair Gamble, may I indulge 4 minutes to make my comments?
Since we don't have a packed house, I'll allow it.
Good evening, Chair Gamble, members of the commission. Sir, welcome to the panel. My name's Dave Perry. I'm the president and CEO of the Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce. Lisa and I are proud to call Oro Valley home for 14 years now. Our chamber has a $40,000 operating agreement with the town of Oro Valley for services rendered. My comments tonight are certainly not within those services. I want to express our chamber's thanks to government, this group, staff, and council for allowing businesses wide berth in utilizing signs during the pandemic. As Patty just said, we've learned just how important temporary signage is for businesses, particularly small businesses, in reference specifically to window and banner signage. They've helped people get through a rough time. They've been appreciated by the business community. We also recognize the permissions were temporary. These proposed changes, when implemented, reimpose restrictions on the usage of signs. We appreciate Patty and staff's outreach to our chamber for input on these changes. Broadly, our chamber stands in support of the proposed zoning code amendment before you tonight. These rules generally are fair to the majority. They're more comprehensible. They're expanded from what we've had previous to the pandemic. That said, we do have some specific concerns we want to share. Those are questions surround enforcement of these rules and how we specifically inform people of what the rules are. Most every Monday, Margie Adler from the town staff and I visit businesses, often accompanied by members of council. Councilwoman Barrett has joined us on occasion. Yesterday, Margie and I stopped at KFC down on Oracle Road. We met these two hard-working, enthusiastic young guys. KFC has a freestanding banner very close to its front door. It's worn. It probably could use replacement, but the message is clear. It says, "Help wanted. Apply within." Now, that sign is probably 8 feet. This is 6 feet. That sign's about 8 feet wide, about 4 feet deep. It's probably 32 square feet, which is twice what the allowance is for a freestanding sign. Now, I'm not going to go tell KFC that they should take that sign down, and I wouldn't want to be Patty or any enforcement officer saying, "Hey, this sign is out of compliance." This company, this business, so many of our businesses have a real need. They got to find help. And this is what KFC has chosen as a tool to reach out to the workforce. I'm not convinced 16 square feet is a big enough freestanding banner size. And if that is the directive, I hope that enforcement is very light. Margie and I also visited Bellicure Nails and Spa yesterday. That's in Oracle Crossings. New owner, they've struggled. They're trying to build a clientele. Bellicure has a small sign. It's the size of a real estate sign. It sits in the median on two metal posts. It's some distance from their front door, probably 100 feet. Not their property, I suspect. Technically, I suspect that sign is out of compliance. But that owner wants to keep it. You know why? It drives business. People drive by and see and say, "Hey, I should go there and get my nails done." And these people are just struggling along trying to make a go of it. I request Let's not force businesses to remove freestanding signs. Let's educate them. Let's give examples of what's allowed. Let's give businesses time to adopt to these new rules. I ask for leniency, if not flat out, some changes in particularly that freestanding signage, if I may. When the pandemic struck, the Chamber and Town agreed that our business ownership and management databases are out of date. All concerned have worked very hard to try to improve that data. Who owns this business? Who manages this business? And I can attest from an organization of 540 members that data changes every day. We are constantly chasing information. We have more than 650 storefront businesses in our community, and it's always a dynamic change of management. How do we inform people about the rules? I can tell you that those two young guys at KFC, they're not decision makers. They're not the people putting that banner out front. How do you get to the decision maker? Well, I don't want to just complain. I have a suggestion. Every Oro Valley business, including the Chamber, purchases a business license annually from the town clerk's office. It costs us $80. I get a digital document that says, thank you, and here's your license. I don't know what other information government shares when a business renews its license, but I might suggest that's an opportunity to inform. Hey, by the way, here's what the sign permissions are. Hey, by the way, here's people you can talk to, like Patty, who does a great job for our community. Here's how you can get information. I think that we are missing a chance there to educate the decision makers about what the rules are, and this might be a vehicle to do it, to let them know what the sign permissions are. I would ask that any positive outreach that we can make to the business community be undertaken, and I can assure you that it's much appreciated. Again, we offer broad support for these proposals. I do hope you'll do a little bit of scrutiny on some of those pieces. Thank you for your time and for your service.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Perry. I will now close our public hearing as we have no other blue cards. And I am going to open the floor. I'm actually going to have Patty come up and talk a little bit about the enforcement and how we're going to inform. And then, commissioners, if we have questions, just raise your hand and we'll go down the line and ask away.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Gamble. First, I'd like to thank Mr. Perry. That's an excellent idea about the business license. Thank you, Dave. We'll put out a little informational with the business license. I'll write that down. So, code enforcement. We do have a couple of code enforcement officers. They generally are complaint-driven. They don't have time just to drive around town looking for things to do. So most of the time, it is complaint-driven. And we haven't had a hard stop on the Oro Valley Safe Steps program. That's technically still active, just it's kind of losing steam. So we're hoping the new sign standards are approved when we can officially close that program. And we're hoping to do some sort of soft information. We don't want to go out and do a hard no. So hopefully an educational. The example of KFC, they could hang that on the wall of the building. A large sign like that, large banner, they could hang it on the, they should probably get a new one, it sounds like. But if they were to get a new one of the same size, they could hang that on the wall of the building. It would meet the code standard, possibly, if this were approved. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
It did. Thank you. Do we have any comments from commissioners? Commissioner Nichols?
Yeah, thanks, Ms. Hayes. Nice presentation. Two questions. One, I see that Pima County only allows 90 days for the large banners, and we're proposing 120 days. What was the reasoning behind that?
Commissioner Nichols, thank you for that question. 120 days has actually been our standard for banner permits for years here. So if a business were to obtain a permit for a wall banner or a freestanding banner, it was allowed to be up for a total of 120 days out of a calendar year. So we wanted to keep that same standard. We did not want to take that away from the businesses. So although Pima County is a little different, our goal is to not to be like Pima County. We are our own. But we are just keeping that same standard.
Thank you. And the second question is, I noticed on the window standard, it's 30% of the window size. But there's, I mean, what if somebody had an enormous window? Would that cause a problem for us?
Actually, no, it should not, because 30% of a window, regardless of a size, should work out pretty nicely. Even if they have a very, very large window, 30% of that large window should not be too big of a issue. And actually, I have here a couple of photos of some of our larger stores. We've noticed, actually, that a lot of our large stores don't actually have windows, or they have a very small amount of windows. So even though you may have a store that has 600-700 linear feet of store frontage, their windows are usually pretty small. Kohl's right there probably has more windows than the other folks. So we don't anticipate the 30% being too much of a overwhelming look.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Brooksma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. A question and then I guess a comment. So the question is, Mr. Perry seems to be concerned about potential enforcement that's too heavy-handed in terms of implementation of these proposed standards. And what you're telling me is that historically it's been complaint-driven, and I don't imagine you get a lot of complaints about this stuff because most people don't know what the standards are to begin with. And so have there been in the past any complaints from the business community about enforcement being, and this, you could answer this, or Mr. Spaeth, either way, about the enforcement being too heavy-handed by the town?
Commissioner Brooksma, thank you. Probably in the past, long, long time ago, it may have been a little heavy. Folks probably complained a little bit more about signage when the town was smaller. So when the town was smaller and somebody did put out a big sign somewhere, that was more noticeable maybe than today. I don't currently work in the code enforcement folks, so I'm not sure what their numbers are about complaints on signs. I know we do get one occasionally, usually because it's fallen down, flapping, it's in a wrong, maybe it's in a bad location. That's usually the complaint. But I'm not sure of the volume today, but I don't think it's as what it used to be.
Thank you. So what I hear from Mr. Perry is, I think, more in relation to administration of the code as opposed to the standards that are being proposed, other than maybe the 16-square-foot freestanding banner standard. And, you know, I don't know whether that's, you know, too small or you know, whatever. It's pretty much the standard we have now, right?
16 square feet for a freestanding banner is what we currently have now. We did not touch that standard.
So, you know, I suppose it's possible we could look at that in the future if it really is too small. But I don't think we should be looking at making changes to what's being proposed at the present time. Let's see how this works out. Generally, I think that as staff has described, this really simplifies the code a little bit, makes the standards a little easier to understand. It helps businesses generally. It doesn't adversely affect the aesthetics for the town. I don't think it complies with design standards and guidelines in the code and in the plan. So I think this is a good thing. I support it.
And if I could, Chair Gamble, just to reiterate what Ms. Hayes said, you know, with Mr. Perry's example there with KFC, should this be recommended for approval from this body and approved by council, you know, that's an opportunity to go out there and tell them, hey, you have a new sign allowance that, yes, this particular one doesn't meet code, but you actually can have a larger one, possibly. It just has to be affixed to the wall. Right, so a lot of it is about that administration side and educating folks about what they, and I have no doubt those two college kids who work there probably aren't the ones who are making that decision, right? So about getting that information out, I think that's great.
Okay, Commissioner Esterman.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. One of the things that I wonder about is what happens if they begin to change the banner material? any more reflective and kind of glittery. I mean, you've seen sometimes, you know, they have these little dangly things, and when the wind hits it, it just reflects and so forth. Is there any way to control that, or do the people, the banner people, I mean, they ever contact you to kind of explain a bit? There's new material coming out, and it has a little bit more pizzazz.
Commissioner Sturman, so our code does have a section in it that prohibits signs from moving, blinking, rotating, causing, having balloons attached to it, having these things attached to it that attract unnecessary attention. So perhaps something like that could fall into the existing part of the code. As far as if they wanted to put glitter on the sign, that could fall into the fluorescent and iridescent part of the prohibited sign colors, because those are, that's geared toward, you don't want the reflective parts of signs to start highlighting at night, maybe more looking like traffic control devices. We don't want that. Glitter could fall into that.
Well, that's what I was, because, you know, I was thinking, I know, of course, you know, you could only have so many parameters, but there's always new materials that are coming out.
There is.
I mean, just like when you're walking, you have these crossbars that are reflect, or like the bicyclists and so forth. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, well, maybe the new materials that are coming out, that some way, can we anticipate that, or should we anticipate it?
We do look at the, there's an organization called the International Sign Association. They are the folks that probably have their finger on the pulse of what's new. I did have the privilege of going to one of their conferences once, and it was very interesting and a little concerning sometimes, seeing what was new coming out in signage. But really, our sign code kind of is already set up, like I said, no blinking, rotating, fluorescent, iridescent. All that kind of helps fit into that. No illumination of the banners. You know, we're pretty solid, and if something were to come up, we'd certainly come back to you, probably, with an amendment.
Okay, so I have one question about when we're enforcing things. What is the penalty for a violation?
Usually our code enforcement officer will have verbal communication first. If that's not working out, then usually there's written communication by our code enforcement folks. If that doesn't work out, usually there's written communication from our legal department. And if they continue to not want to comply with the code, then actually they're scheduled to go in front of the judge, and the judge determines if there's a penalty. But usually the judge's goal is just get rid of the violation.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious about how that looked. So, do we have any other comments? Commissioner Nichols.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I just like to say that I appreciate the staff coming up with a simplified code. I think that's a good thing always. So from that perspective, I'm very supportive. And with Commissioner Bergsma, I liked what I heard from the Chamber of Commerce, but I don't think that we should hold up this change for that at this time. Thank you.
I agree with that as well. I think if a complaint is made, then if that's how we're running it, if a complaint's made, then it's enforced. I think that's fair. I've made a complaint once. They did. They did a great job. All right. Do we have any other commissioners with thoughts or discussion points? No. At this time, I would like to ask for a motion then. Commissioner Bergsma?
Chair Gamble, I move to recommend approval of the code amendment to banner and window signs in Chapter 28 and definitions in Chapter 31.
I second.
All right. All those in favor? Aye.
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 And there are no opposed. All right. I would like to turn the time over to Mr. Spaeth for our planning update.
All right, thank you, Chair Gamble. So for our planning update today, I'd just like to point out that, in case you weren't aware, the town has re-upped all of the commissioners' memberships to the American Planning Association. So if you haven't logged in, please do so. That's a great resource. We do have two upcoming neighborhood meetings. The first will be on April 27th. We got one application as of right now, and I don't think there's enough time left, but one application for a major general plan amendment, so we'll have one this year, which of course has to be formally submitted by the end of April, so we got to have a neighborhood meeting before that. So that's scheduled for the 27th. And then for those of you who were here last Monday for the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene meeting, we did let neighbors know that we were happy to facilitate a focus group meeting between them and the church to see if they could have a little bit more discussion about any mitigation that is possible. And so that meeting is tentatively scheduled for May 2nd. So you'll see that come across with some invites from Miss Ancona. May 2nd, yes. Yep. So next month, we're actually planning on having two commission meetings. We'd love to see you guys so much. We're going to do it twice. The Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on May 3rd, there are two items. Right now, there's a meeting or the proposed conceptual site plan for an 18-unit subdivision on Morning Vista Drive in Rancho Vistoso. And then there's also tentatively a public hearing for a potential code amendment regarding setbacks in the R6 zoning district. So we'll obviously have more information on that once that agenda is finalized. And then the special session is tentatively scheduled for the 16th, Monday, May 16th. So please be aware that it's not on a Tuesday. And that is for the first of two required public hearings for the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene's rezoning to planned area development. So should be a busy month next month. Thank you, Chair. That concludes my update.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Spaeth. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you all.